Hello and good evening, everyone. I'm glad to see all the families gathered here. And also, if you're a visitor, I want to say that we are very glad to have you here. And we encourage you to stay with us after services and enjoy a meal with us. We'd love to get to know you. And as the song goes, well, we want everyone to be a part of God's family. And tonight, we're going to be dealing with a certain part of the family, specifically the youth. And I'm talking about little children, boys and girls. I'm also talking about young men and young women that will one day be mature men and mature women. And so with that being said, could y'all please turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning, or Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning at verse 9. Beginning at verse 9. And then we'll read through chapter 12, verse 1. And this is the lesson text from which these lessons have been based upon, about training up our youth in this crooked and untoward generation. And so with that being said, here in Ecclesiastes 11, the preacher would say, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment." He says, "Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Therefore, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days draw near and the years come when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" We have to remember now the days. We have to remember now our Creator. We want to be able to honor Him. And young men and women, and yes, even little children, I encourage you today to have that change of mind that says, "I want to do what mommy and daddy are doing. I don't want to play church. I really want to live for the Lord." And we got to put a premium on that. It has to be a priority in our lives, and we got to start young. Amen. And so with that being said, I want to reference a very encouraging passage. It comes from the book of 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 12. And here it says, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I have written to you, children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." What a great and encouraging passage we read right there. And so with that being said, I want for us to take our minds to Matthew chapter 18. This is after Jesus was transfigured before His three closest friends on this earth, Peter, James, and John. And then after that, we learn that there was this certain occasion that Jesus had called a little child into their midst. And He said about how we were to humble ourselves as a little child. He would say in Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 2, He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, he who humbles himself as this little child will be great in the kingdom of heaven." And so we learn about how Jesus was using this earthly illustration about how a little child, about how they live in their father's household and they are subject to his rules, and the Lord willing, children, young men and young women, one day you will decide to follow the Lord, and then you'll be in God's house, that is the church of Christ, and you'll be following His words, His commands. And so we want to be able to put a premium on that. We want to be able to notice its importance way early in life. And so with that being said, I want to remind y'all about what Paul had told his son in the faith, Timothy. He would tell him that he was going to have to go through these hard trials. He was going to have to suffer persecutions. And then right after that, he would say, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have received them, and that from childhood you have known the scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And when you look at that word childhood, we learn that ever since he was in the womb, he was hearing the word of God. And the same is true for us. We have to be able to be hearing the word of God as soon as we can. Parents, sing to your children in the womb. Read the word of God while they're in their mother's bellies, so that they can be able to be wise unto salvation. Again, that was 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. I know we know verses 16 and 17. And so with that being said, I want to take y'all's minds back to Luke chapter 2. Whenever Jesus, it's recorded for us that he was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all the people, they were astonished at his understanding and answers. And then we learned after that his parents, they came back to Jerusalem. They found him. And he said, why did you seek me? Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? And then he came, and then he was subject to them, and he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and men. Amen. And so even the Creator of all earth, he subjected himself. He became obedient to his earthly parents. And so that reminds me about what the Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that thou may live long on the earth. And so we want to obey our parents. And I'm reminded that this generation is a very disobedient generation. The book of Wisdom, Proverbs, it would say in chapter 30 at verse 11, there is a generation who curses his father and does not bless his mother. And let that never be said about any one of us, whether old or small. And so moving on from there, I want to read to y'all some of these quotes from a great book of wisdom that is Proverbs. We learn about how a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son despises his mother. And that ought not to be so with us. And also it says that he who begets a fool does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. It says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. And we do not want us to be in that category. It also says that a foolish son is the ruin of his father. And he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother causes shame and brings reproach. And so it says that if we're going to cease listening to instruction, my son, that we will stray away from the words of understanding, and we do not want to be led astray. It says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does are. It says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. And so we want to be able to be doing those things which are pure and right. And it also says that whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out into deep darkness. Proverbs chapter 20. And so with that being said, I know that we've gone through some of these convicting passages. Well, let's get some encouragement. We want to be balanced after all. And so with that being said, could y'all please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, beginning at verse 12. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning at verse 12. And this is a great passage right here. We know Proverbs 23:23. It says that we're to acquire wisdom and sell it not. And so here in Proverbs chapter 23, beginning at verse 12, it says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to word of knowledge. And it says, parents, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him and you shall deliver his soul from hell. So it's not that you're trying to be hateful or mean when you discipline your kids. It's because you love them, that you want them to do that which is right. Then we drop down to verses 22 and we'll keep reading after that. And it says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. It says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who gives birth to a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who gave birth to you rejoice. And then also, I want us to remember that whenever it comes to training up kids, I personally don't have kids, but I'm reading from the scriptures and it teaches me how to raise children if I ever do decide. And so it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. I'm reminded about how parents, y'all need to have the word of God in y'all's minds, so that y'all can be able to impart that heavenly truth to your children, so that they can be able to depart from those foolish ways, from silliness. And it also says that we are to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That famous passage. And so, with that being said, I want to end off in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1. And this is a great passage, and in the context, it is dealing with members in the church, both, those older members and those younger members. However, we can definitely apply these principles to young men and women as well. And so let's go to Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and let's see what the scriptures say here. It says, but as for you, speak the things which adorn or which befit sound doctrine. It says that the older men be self-controlled. No, sorry. It says clear-minded, reverent, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not giving to any wine, teachers of good things, that they... And notice, this is the category that we're going to deal with right here. But wait, young men, we'll get to you here in a moment. So it says that they teach the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be self-controlled, modest. Now, I want to focus on that word right there, modest. Now, young men, don't think that y'all are getting away either, because y'all can be immodest as well. And so, thankfully, the gym membership that I have, it's getting canceled. Thankfully. Because I'll go in there maybe at like late at night, and you don't even want to speak of the things that the Gentiles do, as Paul would say. And so, right here, modest. Even though it is so hot, please wear pants, wear some joggers, wear shorts that at least hit your knees. And I'm not talking about only young women. I'm talking about also young men as well, because I'll go into the gym and then I'll see some young men have shorts on that are shorter than girl shorts. What is going on here? No, that ought not to be so. And those tank tops that expose everything, young men, that's not good either. We talk about how a young man can lust after a young woman, but let's reverse it. Can a young woman lust after a young man? You believe it? Now, we do not want to be guilty of either, so we got to watch how we dress out in public. And so with that being said, let's continue to read through the passage. Let's go to verse 5 again. It says to be discreet, and then it also says to be modest, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Then right here it says, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. It says, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that those are that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. And so, young men, young women, if you want to learn how you ought to act, go straight to the words of God right here in Titus chapter 2, and that gives you the type of characteristics that we ought to have. And I don't have time to go into all of them, and so I encourage y'all to go read that on y'all's own time. And so I want to close off with these things right here. whenever it comes to being a young man or a young woman, you may be thinking that you're at the time where you want to become a Christian. Now, please listen to these words. Whenever you want to become a Christian, make sure that you are converted, not coerced. You can be dunked in water 100 times and not be saved, but you can partake of the one baptism and be added to the Lord's body. You want to be converted, not coerced, simply meaning not peer pressured into getting baptized. No, you want to be fully persuaded that what you're doing, it is right in God's eyes.
Amen.
And I'm not being ugly, mean, or hateful, but rather on the contrary, I'm being loving, kind, and sweet. We want to be truly converted. And then also, with that being said, there may be some who are young men and young women, children, that sadly something happened and you don't have your parents. Well, you are in the midst of the family of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says that we have older men which can be fathers, younger women are younger men who can be brothers, older women who can be mothers, and younger women who can be sisters. You can have a spiritual family if you don't have a physical one. And so with that being said, I appreciate y'all for y'all's time. And Mr. Shirtle.
How is everyone? Good. Good. I have a few pages here. We'll be all right. I did miss the memo on the suit. I don't know that my suits even fit me anymore, in all honesty. I've manned up. But I'm really glad that though there are plenty of qualified, well-trained, schooled individuals in here that could have led this, that they allowed me, someone who is not schooled, someone who is not trained in the way to speak publicly, to get to speak to formidable minds. They're able to be formed, right? Children, teenagers. So my name is Chad. I'm glad you're here. I probably won't meet all of you, but this way you know who I am now, and maybe I'll meet as many of you as I can. I was tasked with teaching on the challenges of today's youth. And I hate to break it to you, but you've got nothing new. We have the same challenges in 1980, in 1970, 2000, whichever direction you want to go, it's the same challenges. Maybe the modes of temptation are a little different. The pathways, the highway that's used to get to the sin, a little bit different, but it's all the same. And I can prove this to you by turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 reads, "That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun." Verse 10, "Is there anything of which it may be said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in ancient times before us. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after." Okay? Ecclesiastes can be kind of a downer of a book. Okay? You get to the end of it, though, and you should be encouraged. Okay? But right here it's saying, you got nothing new in your life that people haven't already lived through. Okay? And guess what? They lived through it. Victory. Okay? You're going to make it. It's not going to be the end of the world if your girlfriend doesn't want to wear your mom because it would pierce her dress. Whatever it is. I don't think that would happen. I think young ladies love to have moms at homecoming. But there may be something else that hurts your feelings. It's not the end of the world. You have some hurt feelings. Okay, so I know that when I was a teenager, which was not very long ago, I just looked this way. Okay? Mr. Williamson, that was a long time ago. Okay? But guess what? He had the same temptations thrown at him when he was a teenager that I had, that now you have. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." It's common. All right? "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." There's nothing new under the sun. You think, as I thought, that my troubles, my temptations, my challenges, your challenges, were all specific to me and my generation. I'm guilty of it, okay? My parents just didn't understand what it meant to chat on AOL Instant Messenger, okay? Y'all even know what AOL is? America Online. I know there's some parents in here that don't know what it is, okay? MSN Instant Messenger, that was another one. Man, we get on there, we just chat away. We learned how to type fast back then, just from that, okay? But that's wrong. You deal with the same issues I dealt with, but perhaps through different modes, as I mentioned, a different pathway. We know that there's only three ways that we're tempted, right? We know what the devil has. We know his arsenal, okay? It's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. You can turn over there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to allow y'all to read it with me, okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever." Okay, the only things that the world has are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Okay, lust of the flesh, this is big time for teenagers. You got crazy hormones going on. Lust of the flesh, you know what your fleshly body wants. Okay? You know what it wants. Preteens, you're kind of getting a glimpse of it. Younger, you probably don't know anything. Okay? Teenagers, you don't really know anything anyways, but that's beside the point. Okay? The lust of the eyes. We see that this is more of like for your children, right? Parents, you remember when your baby saw that milk and it was hungry? Immediately, wanted it. Okay? Wanted it. Saw it there. You remember when they wanted the toy the other kid had? Went after it. They wanted it. Okay? Their eyes saw it. They wanted it. They may not even been hungry. They may just wanted the bottle they carried around. My kids did that. I don't know why. Wander around getting the milk all over the floor because it drips out. Miserable situation. Pride of life. This is what you have to look forward to. In adults, we get pretty proud. See this thing right here? That's a scar. You want to know how I did that? Acting younger than I probably should have been. Okay, I got another one on my Achilles tendon where I tore it playing basketball, dominating some guy. Dominating. I got so mad, I thought he stepped on my heel. I turned around, we were going to bow up. I couldn't walk. Okay, luckily I didn't bow up and he went around me because he would have won. I couldn't walk. Okay. Because I was proud, man. I was proud. I didn't need to stretch. Why need to stretch? I'm only 27 years old. Back then, now I'm pushing 40 next month. Okay? But I'm a young man. Told you, I just look this way. Thank goodness I have a good wife or I'd look even worse. Okay? The modes have changed. The access to some of these things is way easier than it was when I was a kid, and it's definitely way easier than when the generation before me and the generation before that. But guess what? There was some really crazy access in biblical times. You had harlots walking around the streets. You had all kinds of thieves going on. Thievery, I mean, it was easy back then too, okay? We're kind of easier at getting to hide some of our temptations, getting to hide access to them, even though we've got access to them, okay? So, television, radio, internet, the things that were allowed on television when I was a kid were, the worst one was The Simpsons. Simpsons is nothing compared to what is on television now. Terrible openness of sexuality, terrible pushing the limits on everything. It's awful, as if it was normal. Okay, as if it were normal. Pushing the limits is never normal. That's why it's pushing the limits. Okay, but you can have good pushing the limits, okay, which would be, say you're trying to take a company from $1 million company to $2 million company, where you're going to push your limits in that building that you're in to get everything you need to get done. But man, that's a good goal. You're pushing the limits. But pushing the limits of sin, getting as close to it as you can, is like walking in a coal mine in a wedding dress and expecting to get out of there without any marks on you. Okay? The radio. The songs that are playing on the radio that you used to bleep out the words. Words that we probably use in everyday, not we as us here, but maybe we as in our outside society use every day in front of anybody. There was a time, and I remember, where someone spoke, a man would speak differently amongst men compared to when there was a woman around. But now they speak the way around men and women the same, and it's awful. They shouldn't have spoken around men that way, but sure enough, not a woman. It's terrible. It's like dragging that milk bottle, just letting it get all over the place. Kids, our maturity level has dropped so far as adults. So what is allowed on these technology is also terribly different. But guess what? Have you heard the saying, where there is a will, there is a way? Okay? If you want to sin, you'll find a way to sin. Doesn't matter what the mode, method, madness it is behind it, you're going to find your way to do it. Okay? But the opposite is also true. If you don't want to sin, just as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God provides a way out. Amen. So if you will to not sin, you can find your way. Okay. Don't give up. Here's the thing, though. You have the Word of God to guide you. Just like generations of the generations long ago, they had the Word of God too. You just have to believe it is all you need to guide you. You don't need the television. You don't need the computer. You don't need these things. You need God's Word. You can want those things, fine, but you don't need them. I turn 40 next month. I'm sure someone older than me has way better advice than what I'm about to give you, but they've experienced way more life than I have. Okay? But since I'm older than most of you in here, and that's who I'm speaking to, are the teenagers and the kiddos, okay, listen to this for a second. Here's some advice. Okay? I wish someone had kind of put this in my mind when I was y'all's age. Maybe closer to 13 if you're not quite there, okay? But you have to be ready to fight. You have to be ready to be brave. You have to be ready to stand up to the challenges and not waver, to confront loved ones and to break the family mold. Christianity is not a culture of weakness. Being tolerant of sinfulness all around you, being tolerant, not standing up for things that are, people that are being bullied, perhaps, not standing your ground when someone is asking you to do something that's sinful, that's weak. That's weak. It takes strength to be a Christian. It takes strength to be a man or a woman of God. Think about the biblical passages and examples that we have. We have David, a young man, going out and killing a giant. Killed a giant. Okay? I've killed a deer from 100 yards away with a rifle, and I didn't even have to look it in the eye, and it wasn't going to try to kill me, right? But this giant was going to kill David. I picture it like this, okay? I have my son. He's not here tonight, but I had him when he was, I don't know, maybe this tall, right? I could pick him up, and I know I could break him, okay? That's how David was to Goliath. Yeah, he was brave enough to take a rock. Take a rock and sling it at that dude. And then guess what he did? Picked up this behemoth sword and cut his head off. Okay? We killed a giant, right? With a rock. That's fantastic. But who has the guts to go pick up a sword and go cut his head off? That takes a kind of toughness that a lot of people don't have. I know people that can't even gut a deer, and it's an animal. Either he is shedding blood of a man, hoping he doesn't wake up. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 begins with this. Fight the good fight of faith. You better be ready, kids. The world's not getting easier. You just got to be ready to fight. And I'm not condoning fist fights. I don't want you to go out there and cut someone's head off like David did to Goliath. That's not the right answer. This is talking about a spiritual warfare, folks. Okay? Go read the whole chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay? Read about why he says this. It is not a physical warfare. Okay? You're not physically fighting. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of the power and of love and of a sound mind." Sometimes it takes a lot of power just to control yourself with some love. It takes the strength too. All right? And then finally, in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 19, turn there. Let's read the whole thing. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. Is this the last one of these for the summer?
Yes.
And I'm the last person to stand between y'all and food?
Yeah.
You know how important that makes me feel? Okay? This is a good thing. Out of all these trained people, man, I got to go last and hold y'all up to food. That's good. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So right there, those first two verses, is it all on us? Is it all on us? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Without the whole armor of God, you can't do it. Sorry about you. No one's that strong, not even me. Obviously, see, tore my bicep, not that strong anymore. All right? Not even John Wayne, not even Superman, nobody. Okay? Y'all know who John Wayne is? Okay. Clint Eastwood, those guys that are men's men. Stutter. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." It's going to take a lot of strength, a lot of might. You have to be thoroughly equipped, okay? And you're going to be tired, all right? "Having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, pray that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Here's an apostle of Jesus Christ asking for the prayers of other Christians to be bold, So if you don't think you have to be brave, if you don't think you have to be strong, if you don't think you have to be ready to fight, you're drastically wrong. Because if this man had to do it, we need to do it. Have you ever noticed that the devil uses fiery darts and we're told to use a sword? You want to know why? Because he's a coward. Okay? He's a coward. Think about it. If you could shoot from a long ways away rather than getting up in the battle, what would you do if you were a coward? You'd shoot from a long ways away. But a sword, you have to look that person right in the eyeballs. You're going to take the sword and you're going to just take right up to their face. They're going to see everything. You have to look at them. You have to know that they're going to be upset sometimes with what you have to say if it comes from here. That's scary. A lot scarier than shooting little things. Than hiding behind a tree. Right? The devil's a coward. The devil's a coward. He never would have died for anything he believes in. He's a coward. So in close, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, and so on and so forth, and now it's time to eat. Okay? I'm going to sit down and stop holding y'all up from the food that's been prepared. I don't know what's next. An invitation song. So I guess I'll offer an invitation. There may be a need of somebody here, young or old, to obey the gospel. Maybe you just learn the gospel. How about that? Let's start there. Okay, that Jesus came down from heaven, perfection, came down to earth to be ridiculed, but yet live sinlessly and teach us about our Father in heaven. And that our Father in heaven is merciful. He's merciful to those who will do as He commands. We're not going to keep it perfectly, but we can keep it. And we have an advocate who is Jesus who came down. That's why He came down, to be our advocate. He was tempted as we are in all ways and facets. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Okay? Devil's got nothing new. He's a coward. He won't learn anything new. Okay? He lived sinlessly and He offered Himself as a sacrifice for us. And it's upon you believing that, right there, that good news, that your faith will create this stirring in your belly, in your heart, to change how you are doing things. Okay? We see it in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching, these people are like, oh no, what do we do? We've done so many bad things. We actually helped kill Jesus. Okay? We haven't done that. Our sins, though, put Him there. So you should know that your conscience will be bothered. The coercion that Leon spoke about is not from your peers, it's from your conscience. Okay? You should feel a strong desire to become right with God because you don't want to be wrong with God. And that act will create another thing. Okay? That belief, that stirring of the belly will have you to change your life, confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then be baptized, washing away your sins. Okay? Acts 2:38, they ask, what are we supposed to do? Okay? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Okay? For the remission of sins. I'll never forget that passage, and I'll tell you why. Okay? Short story. Thief breaks into an old woman's house. Okay? The old woman is a good Church of Christ Christian. She knows her Bible. And she just starts screaming at that thief as she's pinned herself in the bathroom saying, Acts 2:38! Acts 2:38! Why? Because she wanted him to stop doing what he was doing, repent, and then go be baptized. Well, he throws himself down on the ground. She calls 911. The cops come. They said, how did this old woman get this big, strong thief to quit? You want to know what she did? She was yelling Acts 2:38. He thought she had an axe in 2:38. Okay? That's a pistol, guys, a 38. Okay? So he hits the ground thinking he's about to get shot. But instead, she's trying to teach him the Word of God. Okay? But you won't forget now, Acts 2:38. And then in Revelation we can read that as long as we strive to keep the commandments of God after being washed in Jesus' blood, that we can live for all eternity in heaven when we die. It's not really death is in the end. It's death is in a beginning that will last for a long time. Everything that makes you happy here, it's even better there. We don't even understand, can't fathom the rest that we're going to have. Those who are working day in and day out, Monday through Friday, trying to run a business or whatever it is that you're doing, it's tiresome. You get gray hairs in your beard, okay? It's coming for you next, Mr. Evan, right? It's coming for you. It's coming for you too, Mr. Nicholas. Yeah, coming for you too. Seen it in your dad, haven't you? Yeah. Okay. Gray hair. Sign of wisdom is what it really is. But we don't have to worry about that anymore in heaven. God's got us covered through Christ's sacrifice. He's merciful. So if you need to partake in the gift of God through obedience to the gospel, you're invited right now. And then maybe, perhaps, you've already done this. Perhaps you've been the scared one to stand up when you needed to stand up, and you realize the error of your ways and you want to fix it, and maybe you need to fix it publicly or ask for some help. That invitation's here too, okay? So, the invitation is yours. It's Christ's invitation, not mine. And if you need anything, please come forward as we stand and sing this invitation.